Welcome back to Brass Stacks. It's now 1:19. Remember, we close at 2. So you just stay with us and we hear the issues, and I would really like you to call and share your views on a number of things that are happening. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price.
Good afternoon, Mr. Williams, the man who told me that he done calling the program.
No, I have to call the program. You see, there's something about the program.
You're addicted, man. You're addicted. All you're going to tell me is, Sanka, I am addicted. Let me give you an extra minute.
Sanka, I'm not only addicted, I'm committed.
Okay.
No, let me be fair to the exercise this morning. And I just want to be fair. I want to talk about observations and expectations, right? And I want to start at the top and break it right down to the point that I can see a lot of things that are likely to take place. Let's take, for example, this campaign. I want to compliment the organizers of the Barbados Labour Party in the way that they have taken this campaign to the public. And the results of their planning, I want to observe the reverse of the mistakes made. And the mistakes were got to be made as far as the government is concerned. I'm speaking of mistakes in terms of losing the appeal of the public through the issues that took place during the years, and that they have not found time to devote themselves to these major issues that have brought them to this particular position. And a lot of the issues remain in the minds of the people over the years for the last 8 to 10 years. And to be told at this time by a party that has made so many mistakes, and I'm going to come to the point of the final mistake that they've made, the party that made so many mistakes, in the interest of the former leader, His Excellency Errol Walton Barrow and David Thompson. I'm coming to the point where I want the public to understand fully that there is a change. The change has already started because of the several areas. Take, for example, there's a statement being made, Mr. Price, that they got a bombshell to drop. A bombshell was supposed to be dropped many years ago in Queen's Park. And nothing, that bomb fused. That bomb dropped and fused. When thousands of people went to Queen's Park with an expectation that a bombshell would have been dropped in relation to the opposition, And they moved to IMF. What came out of that? Nothing came out of that, because everybody that went to Queen's Park turned away from Queen's Park with an understanding that there was no bomb, so there could be no shell.
But you can remember at Highgate Hall, then there was the checks, though.
Hold on. It could be the checks at Highgate Hall. But I'm saying that mistakes in the campaign can be made. And I'm saying that the Barbados Labour Party made several mistakes at that time, and they paid the price for it. I'm saying that the Democratic Labour Party has made several. For example, in October of 2012, David Thompson was a common man, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. His body laid in state at Common Mayor School. Wrong or right?
Yeah. Lying in repose, not state.
In 1987, Barry died, right? His body went to the National Stadium. So all I am saying now is the obituary of the launch of the Democrat Labour Party by going to the National Stadium. This is the launch of the obituary.
Mark, don't try that. Come on, Mark.
Hold on.
That is really going into the... Talk about something that is really... You are better than this, okay?
I am getting there.
But no, get there right now. Right? Get there right now, right?
I am getting there. Really? I am getting there. I told you about the issues of mistakes, and I'm saying that somewhere along the line, if you follow my course of delivery, I am showing you mistakes that have been made even into their campaign. And I've established this is their mistake. I've established that somewhere. So I've came to the heading that some things are wrong. For example, several people raised several mistakes that was ignored. Several people raised issues that were of concern and serious concern. Like yesterday, I raised the Cahill situation that seems to be on the back burner. I raised the cost of living. Several people raised corruption. All that we are getting is a determined bunch of people who prove that they are on the right path. I am saying that they're trying to prove they're on the right path, and we are observing the mistakes that they made on daily. So don't tell me that I am not on the right path. right. Let me get further.
What's your next point? What's your next point, Mark?
My next point is that this election is about moving Barbados forward. This election around Barbados. This election is about giving Barbados some hope. And I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that somewhere along the line that Barbados will have some hope, Barbados will have a direction come the 25th of May, 2018. I am saying this because Barbados have reached the point that, as far as they are concerned, they want to return to what they was known for. They want to return to the point where people across the world looked at Barbados as a country to visit. For example, we have to question if Barbados is suitable to visit. People see Barbados as a place of exporting honest workers, people who move into different people countries and made a contribution to their countries. But here it is now we are faced with a stop position. We are faced with a question asked that some politicians, or the government has been playing with us for a long, long time. They have been playing with us for a long time. So if you make mistakes in life, if you continue to make mistakes in life, obviously somewhere along the line, somebody will observe the mistakes. So that's all I'm saying. People have realized that the Democratic Labour Party has been making mistakes. Who caused those mistakes? Who is responsible for those mistakes? Somebody will be responsible for them. So in truth and fact, they want to move from this mistake. And in moving from this mistake-making group, they want to move to an energetic group that will take them forward. That's all I'm saying, Mr. Price. That's all I'm establishing as far as I'm concerned as a Barbadian. We are tied up in a situation that we need to be untied. We are tied up in a belief that they can only win Barbados. We are tied up in a belief that, as far as they're concerned, that the things that they have done, we will be satisfied with, that we will accept and go ahead. I am saying that people have observed this. So when they come to the point of Combermere and Weymouth, I came to the point of people making mistakes. If you've been found guilty, you pay the price.
All right, Mark, thanks a lot for your contribution. And just let me just read a couple of these notices. This is in the WhatsApp. The reason for the sewage is a lack of maintenance. Those things have to be clean, and the best time to clean them is while people are at work. If they're not clean, you get the problem you have now. There is another one here relating to the situation again on the South Coast. This person is saying, Sanka, I just drove through St. Lawrence. It's seaweed that you see in the bay. The reef has broken it up, so it looks like sewage flow. And they also sent a photograph along, and anyone who is familiar with St. Lawrence Gap, you know how there's a, you can just walk over there, and the sea is right there as you move in, heading towards the church, the Anglican Church, right open there. And it's a really a disgusting looking sight. It's very, very dark. It's dark brown. And but the person is saying it is not sewage. It is the sargassum weed that has broken up and that looks that badly. I'm also aware that the Barbados Water Authority has just had a press conference, and we will certainly be trying to get some of that information here to you on air before we finish, because I think that we need to know exactly what is happening with this whole situation with the flow on the South Coast. It really is not good, and we need to get some information on that. Anyhow, until that time, we go back to the phone lines. It's 1:28. We finish at 2. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price. How are you?
I am well, thank you. And you?
So. I've got a little bit of echo back in my ear, though.
Sorry, I didn't hear that. You what?
Yeah, I'm getting a bit of an echo back in my ears.
Oh.
Anyway, let's continue.
Okay.
I see, man, you like this agriculture thing. Remember last time we spoke about agriculture, I asked you a question. This is before the 24th of last month. I asked a question. What did the African people do? They did not farm before that. Well, there was a program came on the 24th of last month, which actually asked that question and showed the reason why I asked the question. It came from a program called The Forum. I think you And Sir Hillary, since Sir Hillary's going for reparations, she should really look at this here. Also, listen to this very carefully. It's called the Forum for April 24th of this year, 2018. It's about sugar. You know the sugar industry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. It's about the whole sugar industry. I want you to get a podcast of that and listen to it. And everybody, you just listen on it, should really listen to this. It has some surprises. But it has surprises for a lot of people. But there's one certainly would not have a surprise for me now, Mr. Dennis Johnson. It is quite clearly, at the time of the African slave trade, racism was not an issue. It's a European construct which came about later, starting in Trinidad. that is no surprise to Mr. Dennis Johnson, because him and myself have told the listeners on it that racism was not an issue. You'd be surprised to know where the Europeans learned the agricultural techniques for growing sugar cane, and also the plantation. You know how we got plantations, which last year combination of the farm and the industrial processes. You were surprised to know where they got it from. Anyway, I noticed that Mr. Grenville Phillips, when he was explaining the ISO 9001, Mr. Ellis was a long thing. You know what he needed a whole day to explain it. I wonder if he has he ever brought a block diagram of the system in the studio with y'all, with him to show y'all?
No.
Okay, your audio engineers will understand the importance of block diagrams. It shows you flow of information and stuff like that. But let's take an example. The audiologist general, where did he get his information from to work on it?
Well, auditors audit departments.
Right. But what was the name of the department?
But it all depends on which department he targets. So if he goes into Ministry of Housing, he would edit the Ministry of Housing.
Right. Okay, terrific. Okay, what you do is you draw a box. You put Ministry of Housing. You draw another box, you put the Auditor General. From the first box, which is Ministry of Housing, you draw a directional arrow pointing towards him. Where does it go after him? All information that goes to him would be going into his box. Where does it go after that? After he sees where does his information go?
You mean after the report has been done?
Yeah.
When the report is done, he reports to Parliament. That's what his job, that's his remit. Right. Don't forget his position is a legal one, and his job is within the four corners of that law.
Right.
Legislation.
I'm forming the box for you now. Okay, put a line with arrow going from his box and the general's into Parliament. Any place that it goes?
Sir, no. But what is the point? Make your point.
Because I said your audio engineers will understand is the block diagram shows the flow of information, where it comes from, where it goes, etc. Also shows if it's feedback. If it's feedback from Parliament to him, arrow will then come back into his box and show the feedback between Parliament and him. If it goes to any other places, it will also show up. That's basically the ISO 9001 is a system which troubleshoots itself. But Mr. Grenville has been quite proud of it. But having been trained as a technician, I understand what he's saying perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you always remember that just answering to you there that these types of diagrams, management diagrams, this is something that has been coming on and on and on, and the ISO 9000, 9001, and 9002 is very similar. It's updated, and there are merits to the system, but there are also some questions about that system as well. But now is not the time I will deal with it. I will deal with Mr. Phillips at that time. As I said, the Barbados Water Authority had a press conference not so long ago on dealing with the South Coast, and we have a clip here. Thank you very much, Ryan Jilts, for providing that clip. Of Patricia Innes explaining what is happening on the South Coast.
And then speaking very quickly of one or two other things, because as the general manager spoke to the fact that we had a screw lift challenge last night, we immediately installed a secondary trash pump. So we have supplemented the screw lift with a trash pump. The levels are therefore off balanced again this morning because we are running a horrible balance. We have overflows, and I only got that general manager as we were coming up, so I didn't get a chance to discuss with you. We have overflows presently in the rendezvous area. We have teams in the area presently pulling off. We have concerns with the lift station Bay Street, where there was a dislocation of the block. That is being worked on to return it. So I'm knowing that bad news travels very quickly. So I'm just letting you know that these are the realities we face. We are right now, I'm getting the text from the plumbers as I speak. We are dealing with the Bay Street, that reversion that we did, the Bay Street lift station. As soon as that is finished, the Ministry of Health, of course, will be monitoring us like hawk to make sure the area is sanitized and that it is returned back to normal. The rendezvous area we're also dealing with as well. And we're trying to balance that network system again. What we have found, and what I wanted to say is, we have, as the general manager said, we are in daily communication with at least 70 businesses. And our last reports to the FTC attest to that, who are immediately affected by the overflows, either on the street or in the businesses. I commend the majority of them who are working with the Barbados Water Authority on a daily basis to do all that we can to ensure that their life is comfortable. To the point that you made, and to the question about restitution as well, what the Barbados Water Authority has found, in a number of cases, there are a lot of illegal considerations, even in properties which have been affected. There are storm drains connected to intercept chambers, i.e. going into the sewer. In all cases, we cap those. We inform the businesses that the problems exist. Our concern is that even with our present situation, even, and this is not in the form of an excuse, but this is just a reality, the amounts of debris coming into the plants, according to our operators and our cleaners, has unfortunately not reduced. We are now cleaning the River Road pumping station at a minimum 3 times a day to ensure that it continues to function, because it is, of course, taking up excessive load now from this, the South Coast area. All of our pumps, which amount to more, almost $1 million, this is the 5 pumps that we have received that are right now holding the strain, are cleaned at a very minimum, once a day. We have staff who remain, a part of the operators who remain on duty 24 hours a day. And that is, of course, sanctioned by the general manager again, and the excessive amounts of overtime, the excessive amounts of monitoring. But we will all continue to do what we can. So I'm saying that we have had a screw lift issue. We have worked to balance the situation with the auxiliary pumps. We have problems presently on the network, on the South Coast today again. And we're trying to return a certain level of normality as quick as possible. That's our present situation.
Just to be clear on something, General Manager had said that we're clearing in the deragging process. Right. There's been no change in that process in terms of persons.
Quantity?
Persons are still putting.
I can't tell you what persons are doing. I can say that the quantity of rags that are caught in the strainers of the pumps has not reduced. The quantity of fats, oil, and grease in the Bridgestone line is still extremely high. This, please understand, is not a form of an excuse. This is a plea to the fact that we are all in this together. And the fats, oil, and grease are destroying the network. It enters the network, it becomes a cement block. And human beings have to go down there in high hydrogen sulfide and literally chip away with a chisel to get these things out. So we have blocks. It is unfortunate that I think maybe in the papers, the last three reports of blocks and people complaining were the blocks of the fat soil and grease that we cannot maintain. So in all of this horrible situation, we will come out of this hopefully very soon, and a whole different psyche of dealing with wastewater will come forward.
I remember when you first launched the South Coast Project, there was a massive education program that was informing persons of what they should not put down the drains.
Right.
Is it that we need to start back over that again and inform the people, or are the people a massive panic?
Right.
Or is it that person just really don't care?
I want to err on the best side always. We do have to do more education of persons in all of the areas. A number of food service establishments do not know what to do. A number of persons, not only in the sewer network, but throughout Barbados, have no understanding of what a grease trap is or what it is meant to do. So of course we see it in the south, in the network, but it's throughout Barbados. So an education in very general sense, not only with the Barbados Water Authority, but of course, Town and Country, Ministry of Health, educating people of what these are, what is their purpose. And also a certain amount of legislative realities to enforce the consequences of certain illegalities will go a long way as well. We will have to look at that, especially as we, when we get over this hurdle, we'll be looking at expanding our networks. We'll be looking at tertiary treatment. Tertiary treatment will never happen in Barbados if we continue to have fats, oil and grease, rags, mops, bed sheets, needles, condoms in our networks. So that will come to an end. And under our guidance, the Minister, that will end. But we just have to get over this reality first.
And that was Ms. Patricia Innes from the Barbados Water Authority. As I said, they had the press conference not so long ago, and thanks to Mr. Ryan Jiltz, his diligent, he has been able to just take that clip up so that we can hear exactly what is happening. It was pretty interesting. One of the things that, well, I'll just recount some of the 4 points that she made, the 5 points. The amount of debris coming into the plant has not been reduced, and she's saying that the screw lift. They're having a challenge with the screw lift on the south coast. The levels are off balance. They're also having overflows on Rendezvous. And they're having concerns with the lift station in Bay Street, that is with the block there. An eye-opener for me, though, was the cleaning of the River Road station. This is right in front of Starcom, 3 times a day as it is taking material from the south coast. Now, that is the first time I knew that we certainly have been told in the public that the actual River Road station as well is taking material from the south coast. So that certainly is another eye-opener. But I guess as time moves on, we'll be hearing more and more. Of course, you can expect to hear a full report of that in our 4:30 edition and then our 5:30 major edition this evening. But now you know what there's a problem on the south coast, because the levels are off balance. They're having a challenge with the screw lift on the south coast, and that's why we're getting such major flowing on the south coast. We go back to our phone lines. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want to say 2 things before I go to my very end point. I'm going to try to be as fast as possible because I know time running out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am really concerned after hearing Mrs. Innes just now, because this is quite a long time now we was hearing these same comments. And I honestly believe these people are just experimenting. They don't have a clue what's going on. Because from day one, when this thing first started, we hear they were trying to rectify certain things in order to deal with the main problem. And up to now, they're like, they don't know what's the main problem up there.
I beg to disagree.
In fact, I
disagree with you. They have identified the problem, and they're trying to rectify the problem. We can argue if we want about the pace at which they're operating. We can argue about that. But I think one of the major problems that we should speak of here is the fact that you're still getting a lot of rags and all sorts of plastics and whatnot in the system, bed sheets and that sort of thing that Ms. Innes mentioned just now. At the end of the day, despite all the lack of maintenance, despite all the not enough attention being shown to this situation when they were alerted to it, despite all of that, the fact about it is that the amount of debris coming into the plant has not been reduced. And that, to my mind, is damning. And that is not the government. That is us. Us, we Bajans. We are doing ourselves a disservice. That is what is the main point going on here, as far as I'm concerned. You're talking here now about the water authority, this and water, and I understand you. That yes, maybe they could have moved faster. Yes, maybe the government could have come up with some money and would have move on it quicker so that we could have had a better result at a faster time. That could all be argued about, but you cannot ignore the fact that Barbadians businesses, Barbadian households that are connected to the sewage plant are continuing their bad habits and are contributing to what is going on.
But one of my other concerns is these four boreholes that they were supposed to be sunken every since. I mean, let me say what you have to say before I go to my point. I would like to know at the present moment how much money they have already spent trying to get this thing rectified.
Hold on. You see, this is my problem. And if I saw like Dennis Johnson, I'm sorry. Okay? Because I like to listen to Dennis. I've been listening to him for years. But this is my problem. That's his favorite words. And this is what I have a problem when people talk with the prison. Okay? And the fire and the prison. And it doesn't need to build a prison. I mean, you need to spend some money. This is foolishness. It is damn foolishness, I would say. All right? This situation at the South Coast is an emergency. It's a crisis. Barbadians need to understand that and stop the politics. Okay? It is a crisis. The only body who can suffer from this are us. Because we live here and we can suffer from it. And we are suffering from it. So get it right. If the government spent $10 million, it is, as far as ICE and Caprice is concerned, it is well spent, as long as they have followed the advice of the engineers and they go about it. I have difficulty with the boreholes. I have major difficulty with the boreholes. But that is a short-term measure. If they're going to do that as a short-term measure and then they're going to actually fix the system and it's going to cost us $20 or $30 million, fine. But you know what they need to fix more than anything else, and it ain't going to cost us one red cent? It is making Barbadians recognize that they cannot put bed sheets, then they cannot put plastic bags, and they cannot put all these different things into the system. And that, my friend, is the real issue that we should be concerned about. Why are we so stupid to be sabotaging ourselves? Because that's what we're doing, you know. We are messing ourselves up as a people. And let me mention this word sabotage, because I remember reading an article some months ago from somebody who should know better about making a suggestion that maybe somebody's sabotaging the system. It isn't about people sabotaging the system, you know, with intent. It is a amount of ignorance from ignoro. They don't know. People continue to just want to get rid of things and they dump them in the sewage system. Just like how people and households who are not on any sewage system, they just put any and everything in the garbage and put it alongside the road. Or if they feel that it ain't going to be taken up, they drive someplace and just dump it out the car. That happens. It happens all the time. And it is why Barbados is so dirty. And we gonna start dealing with that, you know. This ain't got nothing to do with the government. Yes, the government has major questions to answer about their whole environmental program. And I will be one of the first to ask them about it. Because in my view, they really didn't do what they're supposed to be doing. Because we should be having separation of garbage for every sense. It really is not good enough.
But can I help myself now?
Man, you hold on. I can give you say. Right, okay, but I put my soapbox and I will steal my soapbox.
Allow me to shout hard to you,
but no, I just. But somebody earlier had written that I only shout at people who are DLP people, and you are not known to be of that. I ain't trying to soft soap you. I am making a point. I'm very, when I get passionate, I'm not really shouting. It's just my mouth is extremely close to the microphone. That's all. But the point I'm making, the long and short of it, and I'll finish now, is that we have to start looking at what we are doing as a people, how we are disposing of our garbage. It is a major point. And we can't get away from it. It's not somebody else's problem. It is our problem. What our neighbor does affects us. If our neighbor cuts grass, leaves it on the road, and it goes down in the drain, it blocks the road and can cause flooding in my house as well as your house. So we have got to start taking responsibility for our actions. And that's the only point that I'm making. And sorry, listeners, to be so long-winded, but it's really something I feel very passionate about because I don't think the message is getting across.
I am very, very passionate about it. Why? That's why it raises the point. Because, honestly, I think it's quite a long time, and the situation seems as though it's getting worse every possible day. And I honestly believe that they should seek help from outside. I believe we have experts outside who will come and rectify this problem in a short space of time, instead of embarrassing this country, Barbados, that we dearly love so much. I don't understand. Will you really tell me? I just don't understand. I mean, these four boreholes, we hear about these four boreholes, they sunk one, and they were supposed to drop data in one and get back saying results overseas, saying the samples overseas, so that we will know exactly what is the problem. Up to now, people in this country don't know what is the results. They don't even know if they come back.
In the Nation, about a week or 2 weeks ago, the story was there about the boreholes, and I think they're going to finished all of them by June, if my memory serves me right. But the water authority did come back to say something. The story was in the Nation newspaper, of course.
Now, let me go to another point, my next point. That's my really reason why I really call anyway. Mm-hmm. Now, you know who the Barbados Labour Party campaign manager?
Dr. Jerome Walker.
Good. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. You know the Barbados Labour Party leader is a young, bright, dynamic person in the name of Mayor Motley. And I believe that both Mayor Motley and the campaign manager, Jerome Walcott, would do things their own way as far as Barbados Labour Party campaign is concerned. So I don't understand with Glenn Murray's problem, where he's concerned about Barbados Labour Party starting their campaign at Weymouth. They expect Mayor Motley, a young person, to continue to do the same things the same old way. No, she would do things along with the campaign manager their way. And a typical example of the fruits that has been born so far is this picnic that I had at the Scots on Saturday. And I would expect Mayor Motley and Jerome Walker to continue dealing with this campaign as they seem fit. So you don't understand the nonsense from Glenn Murray? And you mentioned something about the Democrat Labour Party going in her constituency to deal with her, her juggler.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Price. Weymouth also border on St. Michael South, too. There's a part of St. Michael South, too, so I can see the same thing. So I tell Glenn Murray, forget it, ask you this. Mm-hmm. You see the names that he mentioned that he would continue, that he would go and listen to as far as Barbados Labour Party speakers is concerned? You remember the call names?
Yeah.
I hope you take note of the names. But I want to tell Mr. Murray this. The same names that he called, those persons are already long move on and are in fully support behind Mayor Motley, and they are not stuck in the same old mode that he's in presently stuck in. Thank you, Mr. Price.
All right, my friend. It's 1:54. We try to get one more caller in. You're on the air. Good afternoon. You're on the air. You're on the air. You like you really don't.
I'm surprised. Yeah. I got a problem with the DLP and the BLP. Mm-hmm. I have a problem. The DLP telling you to go back to the Labour Party people we vote for, and you can't answer your question. My representative George Penn, and have my ex have a good afternoon. Bye.
That is what we want to laugh. Oh, my goodness. Yes, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price.
Yes, good afternoon. You're on
and
the
good
air.
Afternoon, and good afternoon to my fellow Barbadians. I am appalled. I am so confused. I don't even, words fail me at this point, to see what's happening to our lovely island. And it is not for a lack of people with integrity. It's not for a lack of people who have savvy to fix these problems or to make suggestions for solutions. It is because those who have the power have abused it. Those who have the power refuse to even consider that there might be somebody around who can help them with the problems they have. The problems we have in Barbados, they're not insurmountable. Neither are there new problems. The world has faced these problems ever since time began. And I'm appalled to think that, for instance, after 50 years of independence, we do not have a proper sewage system for the disposal of our waste. And it's not rocket science, because I have made suggestions to the Prime Minister, to the various ministers. I've made suggestions to just about everybody in order to help. My mother has to drink brown water from her tap in a place where, until, say, 15 years ago, we had the best water system in the world. And here we are today. In fact, it is so terrible. I've kept samples of water, and on my next trip out of Barbados, I would take some of those samples and have them analyzed, because you can't tell me that the quality of water we are currently drinking is safe and is good for the people of Barbados.
I'm not going to let you get away with that one. I'm really not going to let you get away with that one.
Okay.
Because we have not come down in this country with any sicknesses or any water-related illnesses whatsoever over the last few years.
Right. Okay. Suppose, let me ask
hold on a second. You made a point. Let me make this point,
okay,
because it is a very serious point. All right? I know of the dirty water, the brown water that we have been getting. I am quite aware of it because I used to get some at one point. But the whole thing about it is that you boil your water and it is fine. I know also that there are some people, a very close relative of mine now uses only bottled water, and it is an expense. And to my mind, it's sad that we have to come to that point in some places. But at the end of the day, the majority of Barbadians use the water from the tap, and they do not have a problem. All right, so we cannot allow that to go overboard. That you know is dirty water and whatnot.
There
are problems, yes, but they're not insurmountable. Really don't believe.
As a professional and a healthcare professional, mm-hmm. who served around the world in various capacities in various countries, mm-hmm. I am saying to you that, look, for instance, we stopped using pipes that came through faucets that had lead. Why? Because later on it was shown that lead was detrimental mm-hmm. to the health of our people.
Mm-hmm. You got to speed it up. Mm-hmm.
This is universal. Mm-hmm. Mercury, all these things. Mm-hmm. And you can't tell me, look, the water coming through my mother's tap has been brown. We arrived back here since February 23rd. And ever since February 23rd to today is what? Today is the 2nd of May. Mm-hmm.
Have you reported it?
Yes, I have. I met with the general manager, that preceded Mr. the current general manager we have. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I met with Mr. Atlee Brathwaite, the chairman of the board. They were supposed to have a meeting with me, with the engineers, so that we could discuss what's happened.
All right, sir, we really can't continue that conversation, but all I'm saying to you is that it is happening around the island in a number of areas. It's pretty widespread. It is not desirable, but at the same time, we cannot say that Barbadians are drinking dirty water. No way. Okay? I'd like to thank everyone for participating in today's program. I thought we had a pretty good session. We started off with Marla Ducaran, and we also just got that piece here with Pat Innes explaining what exactly is happening. And I hope that you really understand, ladies and gentlemen, the importance of making sure that we basically do not dump our garbage willy-nilly. We've got to, you know, put it away properly. As Ms. Pat Innes made the point, that people are still doing that indiscriminate dumping within the South Coast sewage system, and it's causing us major problems. So, from Sanka Price, I hope to be with you next week. Until then, God bless.